97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Annie Fry Show YouTube live chat poll of the day is sponsored by Ruler Foods. Low prices, no coupons. Ruler Foods.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
I want to start by wishing my wife, Melania, a very happy birthday. It'd be nice to be with her, but I'm at a courthouse for a rape trial. It's a rape trial. Terrible. But we're doing very well in this rape trial. Everybody knows it. Yesterday was a big day. But I do have to begin by wishing Melania happy birthday. She's in Florida. I'll be going there this evening after this case finishes up, this horrible, unconstitutional case.
Well, happy birthday to Melania Trump. Husband Donald Trump doing the very right thing and wishing her a birthday right there off the top of those comments that he made as he came out of the trial. The trial seems to be falling apart. It depends on who you listen to. I was taking in everything I can. I feel like Andy McCarthy and I, we spent a lot of time together. If you've been watching Fox now, you feel like you've spent a lot of time with Jonathan Turley and Andy McCarthy and the experts that have been weighing in on what has happened at this Manhattan trial, Alvin Bragg, the non-hush money trial. And it doesn't seem like they're really going to be able to get this across the finish line. And I was listening to Outnumbered earlier today, and they were saying, you know, we've seen a lot of these polls that are being asked out there about how does your vote on Donald Trump, for Donald Trump or against Donald Trump in November, does it change at all if he's convicted? And the question was posed, what if he's acquitted? And that's not really something that has been really asked and discussed quite much. But yesterday, what I did on my way home, I was listening to the post-game coverage of these trials, of course, the immunity trial at the Supreme Court, listening to the breakdown on Fox, as I am apt to do. And I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to switch it up. Went over to CNN and started listening to them. And they did not see it the same way. It is two different. It is two entirely different realities that people are living in based on the media that you consume. But the one thing that I did notice quite a bit about the CNN breakdown of what took place with the immunity situation is they did not really talk about the issue that was being discussed at hand. There were a lot of distractions. There were a lot of ancillary things that were being discussed around the trial, but not really talking about the specifics of what would likely come about from this immunity hearing in front of the Supreme Court. The one thing that I did, it was funny because it was maybe the same conclusion, but it came from very different perspectives, which shouldn't be surprising to any of us. The idea that there is going to be a qualified immunity for the presidency reached after this is what I gleaned from the experts on Fox News. Trump isn't going to get immunity to do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants. But there is a qualified immunity that comes with being the president of the United States. And the CNN presentation of all of this was that this is a huge loss that was going to be dealt to Donald Trump simply because he wasn't going to get the full immunity that he had hoped for. So I thought, well, the congruency here is that there's some immunity coming Donald Trump's way based on the legal analysts on the left and on the right. And I thought, well, that's probably going to be good news for Donald Trump. Let's listen to Clarence Thomas.
Over in not so distant past, the presidents or certain presidents have engaged in various activity, coups or operations like Operation Mongoose when I was a teenager, And yet there were no prosecutions. Why? If what you're saying is right, it would seem that that would have been ripe for criminal prosecution of someone.
So, Justice Thomas, I think this is a central question. The reason why there have not been prior criminal prosecutions is that there were not crimes.
So the DOJ lawyer there, Dreeben, is saying that the obvious crimes here is what changes the game. We have effectively operated under an understanding about presidential immunity up until this time. What's different now? And the DOJ lawyer, of course, is saying, well, now, you've got crimes that we have to deliberate over with Donald Trump. Prosecuting him for a coup. The insurrection question that does live under every single one of these trials, I think the thing that collectively people dislike the most about Donald Trump is the January 6th thing. I think there are a lot of people who maybe didn't prefer him, but that kind of pushed them over the edge. And then, of course, we saw the people who over and over and over again hammered that nail. I think that's not a nail. I think it's a thread. I think the second you pull that thread out, the whole sweater unravels. And if we do find that, first of all, no one's been charged with insurrection at all, and that's something you can charge for, if that thread does get pulled in a way that takes away the steam from the prosecutions on Donald Trump with that kind of understood foundation that, well, he is an insurrectionist. No, you have to A, charge him so that you can B, convict him, and neither A nor B has happened. Here's some from Jonathan Turley on the issue.
Well, I think there were points in this argument that should be viewed as quite positive for the Trump team. First of all, you had roughly four justices referring to sending this back for further deliberations. If they do that, it's hard to imagine the trial judge getting a trial before the election. And if Trump is reelected, you might not have any trial at all. But the argument went along the lines of what many of us had predicted. That is, the justices seemed equally uncomfortable with the sweeping arguments of the Trump team and the sweeping decision by the D.C. Circuit.
Which I think is something that is kind of restoring my hope in at least the final word in our justice system. If you're from the left and you watched as Donald Trump appointed successfully three justices to the Supreme Court, then you just think this is an activist court and you will gleefully vote for Joe Biden for re-election in November, hoping that he does, in fact, expand the court. Which, if you go back a few decades ago when Joe Biden was still in office as then senator, he referred to expanding the court as a, what was the phrase? Bonehead idea. Here's more from Turley.
I thought the real haymaker of the argument was delivered by Chief Justice John Roberts, who was openly mocking of the D.C. Circuit, which had this awful standard where they said, well, a president can be prosecuted effectively when he's prosecuted. That is, they had this line that suggested that the fact of prosecution meant that the acts could be prosecuted. And Chief Justice Roberts legitimately said, but what type of standard is that? I mean, don't we have to have something more? All of those comments would suggest that there are justices sort of groping in the dark here for a middle road.
So you have a very, very activist lawfare assault against Donald Trump. Half of the things that Donald Trump is being tried for, they're using the court system to try to figure out what the crime is. Actually is wading through the murky, muddy waters of loathing of a man who's sitting there as a defendant in a courtroom to try to figure out, for instance, in this Alvin Bragg trial. So what was the crime that the jurors are supposed to be trying to figure out that he's guilty or not guilty of? What's the actual crime here? In front of the Supreme Court, you have the Supreme Court hearing, which I appreciate the fact that they're not just in there going, the president can do whatever the heck they want. That would be bad. We've got a president who pretty much is doing whatever somebody wants. We don't know whose want it actually is because Joe Biden can't articulate what he's doing, when he's doing. He does not know where he is. So who's pulling the strings? Who is in charge? Who stitched this together? Yesterday, we spoke with Hans von Spakovsky. And if you go to Fulton County, Georgia, if you go to the newly unredacted documents with Judge Cannon in the Mar-a-Lago documents case in Florida, if you go to Colangelo in the Alvin Bragg Manhattan hush money trial, everywhere you go, you see that there is a strong handshake connection between this White House, the Biden White House, and these charges that are going against Donald Trump. And none of them seem rock solid. None of them. I don't know that he's going to get off scot-free. I don't know that he's going to be acquitted. You've got, was it 31? I think it's 34 charges in the Alvin. 34! A third of the charges, the felonies that your favorite, lovable, liberal individual wants to tell you, 91 felonies. Don't forget, 91 felonies. It's like they've got bumper stickers. They probably have moved from bumper stickers to actually getting it codified on their license plates. That they don't update their stickers for in Missouri. They want to tell you 91 felonies, 91 felonies, 91 felonies. 34 of them are in this Alvin Bragg case in Manhattan, and it is unclear what the actual crime committed really was. So if those get taken off the table for felonies against Donald Trump, make sure your favorite liberal talking point spewer does the math and can subtract. And then we'll just go from there, because that's really all we've got. If there's anything that develops over the course of the day on these trials, we will update you. But this has been a long week in a lot of legal muck and grime with a lot of people scratching their heads. I think there are people on the left. I've definitely seen them. I've talked to them personally who are like, this is kind of embarrassing, just like all around embarrassing. This isn't a good moment for Donald Trump to be in court having these kind of salacious comments and conversations coming out about hush monies and affairs and so on and so forth. Even if when you listen to a lot of stories, Donald Trump says these aren't even true. But we know that there's unsavory activity surrounding Donald Trump in his past, and today's Melania's birthday and he's in court. This is not a good week for Donald Trump. Donald Trump is not good right now. He's probably very angry. And I just hope that he successfully takes all of that frustration and funnels it right into the campaign. Because Americans out there right now, they're angry as well. Here's a construction worker in New York
City. What's it like seeing so many Republicans in Manhattan, so many Trump supporters in Manhattan? Does that surprise you?
No, not at all. It's turning now. Trump's turn again.
What's your message to Joe Biden?
F*** you.
There you have it. What else could I possibly say? This reporter is like Ryan Wiggins. He read Ryan Wiggins's like 8 suggestions on how to make friends. Go on and talk about Biden. Ooh, scratch that. Excuse me. Talk about Trump. That response was a pretty concise, straight to the point, hard to manipulate by the left-leaning media out there that wants to make you think that there's no buzz out there in support of Donald Trump. There is an anger. There is a frustration. People do not feel good in Joe Biden's America. That doesn't automatically translate to a vote for Donald Trump, but it certainly doesn't translate to a Joe Biden re-election. Our YouTube live chat poll for today, unrelated. And I have a story about this. Is it acceptable to toss seed or nutshells out of the car window? Two options. Yes, it's acceptable, or no, it's littering.
Oh, I have strong feelings about this. Can we just dive in? Or are we waiting?
Let's pause.
Okay.
You have strong feelings about this?
I do.
I'm talking peanut shells, sunflower seeds, pistachio shells. What else could you eat that you would have to shell while you're doing it? I mean,
Pop-Tart crusts.
We could maybe.
That's oddly specific.
You are a child. Uncrustables over there.
Yeah. Corners of your PB&J.
Do you eat the crust on the Uncrustable? Just the little fluted end?
I don't love it, but I do it out of
fear
respect.
Of your mother who's going to come find you?
I mean, it's called Uncrustable, so I feel like if I bought it, I pretty much have to eat the crust.
Do you throw in, this is like, that's conversation A for the poll. And that's where you go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel. I've had this on Twitter, and there's been a little bit of feedback on Twitter, and I need to know what y'all think on the Annie Fry YouTube poll. It's only going to be up during the show. Is it acceptable to toss seed or nutshells out of the car window? Yes, acceptable. No littering. I do have a personal story that spawned into this question being asked today, and we will have a secondary conversation about, say, banana peels, apple cores, other things of that realm. So put a pin in that. Go get your vote in. Leave a comment and tell us why you feel passionately one way or the other, because people, I can tell you this, people feel passionately about this subject. But when we come back, also unrelated, more so to the Joe Biden conversation we were having before, Tom Chaloux is in studio with us. We're excited to bring him into the studio to talk about his show that he's going to have this weekend at the St. Louis Funny Bone Streets of St. Charles. Always a great show out there for you to go relax on an evening. All of the news of the day, all of the weight of the week, set that aside. Come laugh, come have fun with a bunch of neighbors here in St. Louis. And then go see Tom Chaloux. It's going to be tonight and tomorrow. Showtime's tonight, 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. And on the 26th, 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. on the 27th. So go to stlfunnybone.com for tickets. But keep it right here for Tom Chaloux in studio next.
Then I looked at my mom. I said, honey, you haven't said anything. She said, Joey, let me remember. True story. She said, remember when they were desegregating Linfield, the neighborhood, to a 70 homes built at one suburbia? And I told you, and there was a black family moving in, and there was people were down there protesting. I told you not to go down there, and you went down. Remember that? And you came, got arrested, be standing on the porch with a black family.
Right.
And they brought you back, the police. And I said, yeah, Mom, I remember that.
Do you? Anytime he starts with true story, you know you're in for one. I want to welcome our guest in studio here. Tom Chaloux joins us right now. You know him from Fox News, of course. He is host of How to Be Tom Chaloux. You can follow him on Twitter at Tom Chaloux or TomChaloux.com. But you can also go see him this weekend at the St. Louis Funny Bone Streets of St. Charles. And we'll get to the ticket link. I'm going to tweet it out here as well at Annie Fry Show. Tom, welcome in. It's good to have you here.
Thank you. We spoke recently. We got on the phone and talked to you as I was getting ready to come here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I appreciate I've done some research on you, as I'm supposed to do, of course. But I appreciate that I don't really know if you're somebody who leans conservative that is a comedian or somebody who is conservative who happens to be funny.
Yeah.
Which
Do you have an
answer for that?
I wanted, you know, when I graduated high school in 1984, mm-hmm. I wanted to get into show business. I wanted to audition for Saturday Night Live. I started in Boston doing improv. Then I went down to Florida at the Universal Studios. I was one of the people down there. Me and Wayne Brady was down there at the time. Yeah.
Really?
A very young Wayne Brady and some other actors like Asif Manvi. Mm-hmm. Then I moved to New York. I wanted to break into show business. So I didn't do politics in my act. It's not part of my thing.
Right.
I was always conservative, though. I grew up in a very conservative Irish Catholic home. And I thought, well, I'll leave that out there. Why would I want to only appeal to half the country? And the entertainers that I loved, I never knew their politics. Johnny Carson, I never knew where he stood on things. He would make fun of both sides. So I wanted to be that way in my act. But it wasn't until I found Greg Gutfeld and I came out of my shell. And you know what? At that time, the world became so divided, and I said, what the heck? You know, let's just do this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just kind of – Andrew Breitbart was a friend of mine at the time. He's the one who introduced me to Greg.
Really?
And it was that time when Andrew – he is an old Hollywood liberal. Like Greg, grew up in California, liberal, but he, you know, he saw what was happening in the country, and he changed his views. So he wanted to kind of come out of the closet and bring all his friends with him. So I started doing Gutfeld, and that's where I latched onto that audience. And mm-hmm. it's been great because now I'm selling out rooms that I wasn't back when I was on Comedy Central.
Really?
You know, I would do all the shows, VH1, Comedy Central. I've done Fallon for years. I did the Late Show with Stephen Colbert.
Mm-hmm.
I was on The Daily Show, the original Daily Show. But I never sold out rooms like this.
Yeah.
And it's because now I've got the fans. They're it's like a family.
Do you? I this is something I want to know about you, because you're the type of person who, like, in a forced corporate meeting, I want to sit near you because you're probably going to be cracking jokes, or at least if you're on the same wavelength with that person in the room, you're just chuckling to yourself because you heard the same thing at the same time. Do you find yourself in this crazy climate that we live in right now, trying to find the funny, or do you feel like you have to suppress the funny in even, like, the serious times where you're just like...
Yeah. Well, look, I used to have to suppress it all the mm-hmm. time, like I said, because I was in that mainstream world. But now it's all out in the open. And, you know, with Gutfeld, we just horse around. You know, we're not a serious bunch of people. And so he takes the headlines, and some of them are quite serious.
Yeah, they are.
You know, but we're able to deal with it because it's not as if we're, you know, it's on Fox News. It's an issue-oriented show. So the comedy comes from us just horsing around with it because we don't want to take it too seriously. And, you know, Greg's always been that way. And I think he kind of has that family around him. You know, he's the one who found all these people. He found Tyrus. You know, he latched on to Kat. He used to read her stuff when she was writing for National Review.
Mm-hmm.
With me, like I said, Andrew introduced me to him. And then Greg came to see my shows. And he was the one who got me hired at Fox. So it's just, I mean, the Gutfeld Show is so thrown together. We send the emails around in the morning. Here's what the headlines are. Here's what Greg wants to do for the monologues.
How funny is the stuff that doesn't make the show?
Oh, I mean, that's, you know, leftovers.
Yeah.
So we have plenty of leftovers. You know what, though? The leftovers, we go through it and we pick our favorite 10 jokes.
Mm-hmm.
There's 100 jokes. I think we should do an online show that's the
leftovers. Fox Nation leftovers, yeah.
The rotting leftovers in the dumpster, you know, because some of those are quite funny and some of them are just inappropriate and they could never make it on the air.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We're speaking with Tom Shalhoub. We've got him in studio here, but he is going to be at the Streets of St. Charles Funny Bone. You have to go check out this show. We have, as a crew, gone and seen several shows from the Gutfeld comedians, as Joe DeVito often refers to you guys as. I appreciate so much the ability to not have to set aside one's identity, which might come across as conservative, but you mentioned you were an Irish Catholic family. A lot of us get our politics that are a little more downstream from whatever culture we were raised in, but the idea that you can hold on to that and still find comedy, amusement, and humor in pretty much everything. Growing up in the 80s and the 90s myself, it was like the conservatives, the Republicans, were the stuffy ones.
Yeah.
The, you know, straighten your tie ones. It's just not, it seems like the other side right now are very, very hostile and angry.
Greg
all
has
of
a
the
theory.
Time.
Greg's theory is he's called it the Dean Wormer theory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dean Wormer was the dean in Animal House. And, you know, Animal House was getting it over on him because Dean Wormer, you know, he had a stick up his butt and he was not, he found nothing funny, okay? When he put them on, you know, double, triple probation or whatever it was. Greg says now we conservatives are the John Belushi in that story now. He says we're the Animal House. And he says guys like Adam Schiff, that's Dean Wormer. So the tables have turned. And Greg is like, now we're the ones having the party. We're the national lampooners of today's culture.
You brought up Adam Schiff. Now, how does this go? Because maybe it's different for a man. But if someone came up and said to me, you know, you really have a likeness with Nancy Pelosi, I would be not happy about it.
Yeah.
Does someone come to you and say, you know, you kind of look like Adam Schiff?
Greg said, let's, you know, maybe you could give a shot to do Adam Schiff. And I said,
and you were like, why?
Don't you call me a lookalike. It's an impersonation, Greg. It's an impersonation.
It's art.
Yes. So I have to put the rouge on my face. You know, I use my wife's makeup to do it. And I put a little eyeliner on. Yeah. I say, I got to do another Adam Schiff. But I actually, the whole reason I started doing Joe Biden for the show was I was sick of doing Adam Schiff with the rouge every day.
Yeah.
Putting on my wife's makeup. So when I do Joe Biden, I use a filter on the phone.
Uh-huh.
That makes my hair white and it gives me the wrinkles. So I don't have to do that Adam Schiff makeup. Yeah, it's much better. Did you hear Adam Schiff got caught without his luggage this week?
Didn't he get like mugged?
Yeah, they robbed his car. He went to San Francisco and they robbed his car. So we just shot a thing for Gutfeld on the show tonight. You're going to get to see Adam Schiff without his clothes.
So,
I mean, I didn't go totally naked, but I went down to the tank top and the shorts. You know?
Is it a full body shot?
I mean, it's, yeah.
Okay.
They can blur it if they want, but they don't have to.
Right, you
need
just got to do what you do.
Yeah.
So I think you're going to stay for another segment, right? Are you staying through the end of the hour? So Ryan always does, on Fridays at 12:45, we do a segment. It's the B or not the B. He's got Babylon B articles, but then also real articles, and then we'll go around and we'll guess.
You can't tell.
Not always.
Yeah.
But that story, I was going to say, was that in your stack?
I can't confirm.
the Adam Schiff getting mugged in California on the way to his event or whatever. There, Adam Schiff robbed in San Francisco, forced to attend ritzy campaign dinner with no suit.
You weren't supposed to read it. I was
not
showing the camera.
The
yeah.
I was showing the camera.
Yeah.
But that sounds exactly like something that the Babylon B would write. I mean, we're kind of in a living parody right now.
It's unbelievable. But yeah, I think I'm going to do, I'll do good at this because I keep up on the headlines.
I'm sure you do.
You know, I got to know what's going on.
Have you ever had to have a Biden Schiff crossover?
I did it. One time I did it. They had a Zoom call. And so I had to, it was a little bit awkward. I had to do the timing, you know. And the thing is with Joe is that he rambles, so it's hard to do it. But I did it at home. I edited it on my iPhone. I sent it in. So we did it that one time. We've also done it with Kat Timm. She does the Nancy Pelosi.
Uh-huh.
So we've done Pelosi talking with Schiff. We've done Pelosi and Biden. But that's, you know, that's high production value.
That is.
Yeah.
It's time consuming.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need the quick laugh. We've got Tom Shalhoub in studio. Of course, he's going to be at the St. Louis Funny Bone, Streets of St. Charles. Get your tickets at stlfunnybone.com. Let me ask you this. Watching and studying Joe Biden, he is a train wreck. He is also the commander in chief. There is a conflict there. There has been for me. Like, how much do I put this out? Because I do feel sorry for the old man.
Yeah.
But he's the commander in chief.
Well, at first, when I first did it, this was back in the day when it was, you know, Trump versus Biden. And Biden was much, if you look at the videotape of him just a couple of years ago, he was a little more fresh.
Yeah.
But he had that stammer, okay? And Greg said at first, don't make fun of the stutter because he's already said, oh, I have a medical stutter. So we don't want to, you know, make it seem like we're.
Did he ever have that stutter in the Senate?
He said he had it from childhood. He didn't have it. So anyway, we didn't make fun of the stammering at first, but then we had to because it's part of his personality. You know, when I first did Joe, you know, he was kind of talking like this, like he was like, hey, he was angry, Joe Biden, you know, and it wasn't, you know, now he's kind of. Look, hey, we go here. It's all about the, you know.
Yes.
Look, hey, come on. You know, he has, because Joe has that deep voice. So when you impersonate him, you kind of have the deep voice Joe, but it usually starts high voice Joe. So you got to come in. That's why I always come in and say, look, no. Here's the deal. Look, I was talking to my wife's a doctor. You know, it's all like rambling, you know?
Yeah.
So.
It's I like can random do... facts that don't have anything to do with each other,
yeah.
Except for one of them isn't a fact, and you got to figure it's like.
And that's followed by
seven
true story.
Truths and a lie.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's getting worse, right? I think you would probably be setting him closer from the delivery standpoint than a lot of people, but
yeah,
there's a deterioration.
There is, and that's where you got to have it be punchy. That's the thing with comedy. You want to hit him with. I always like to have a button that I go out on, but he never goes out in a button. He just kind of slowly fades away. So it's always tricky to find the way we can, you know, mix the Joe Biden, which is there's a lot of fogginess to it, you know, and all that kind of thing. I'm going to get in trouble. So that's, you know, a lot of times I'll button with I'm going to get in trouble.
Don't you wish that in real life? You could have that out, like if you're fighting with your wife,
yeah,
or if
I'm
you're
get
at
in trouble.
Work and you're like, anyway,
yeah.
I'm going to get in trouble, so I'll stop. And then you just are done.
Yeah.
That's
it
amazing.
Used to be, come on, man. That was what my button usually in the, you know, 2020 during that campaign, my button was usually, come on, man, at the end. And that would be like, okay, we can get out on that. He doesn't even do that one anymore, though. He just fades away.
My favorite Trumpism. From specifically when Trump was the president, more teleprompter speeches that he'd have to deliver. Every once in a while, you'd know that whatever the situation was, it was really serious because he would stay on script.
Yeah.
There were like maybe three of those during the entire presidency. But my favorite thing that Donald Trump would do when he was delivering a speech like that is he'd deliver a line and then he'd pause and he'd go, that's true.
Yeah.
And it's like, that part?
Yeah. He'd almost surprise himself. Hey, I said it and it's true.
Yeah. And when Joe Biden's delivery of speeches is just kind of mushy, rambling things. And where you would expect somebody who should be an orator, they should be able to go in front of people and speak with or without a teleprompter and stitch it back together. It doesn't seem to me like Joe Biden, when he's reading, he is comprehending. I feel like he's either straight reading the words, something triggers something in his head to go off, which is why he can never get the train back on the tracks.
I don't know what's worse. Is Joe Biden on the prompter or Joe Biden just winging it? Because if he wings it, he's going to go off and he'll start talking about corn pop, you know? And he's like, it's a true story. I was the only white lifeguard in all black pool in Delaware. And, you know, and it's always something with
kids running their hand up his leg.
Yes. I got hairy legs. I got hairy legs. And they're see-through. I mean, what are you talking about?
Yeah. It's very difficult to discern. Well, we got Tom Shalhoub in studio here. We've got Be or Not the Bee coming up next, and we're really excited to have you here. We want to pack that Funny Bone in St. Charles full of Annie Fry Show 97.1 listeners. So get the tickets. From what I understand, there are only a few left. You will have the best time. If you've never been to a comedy club before, when I went, I was with Brad and Ryan and Hannah, and I went with my husband one time, and I was like, this is just so not my thing. It's like a lot of people, little tables,
yeah,
right next to people.
Look, where are the exits?
Yes.
How am I going to get out of here if somebody tips a candle over?
I was laughing so hard. I was crying. I had a pain in my side, and it was like soul food. So please consider, if you've never done it before, go. If you've already gone before, then you already know. Why don't you have your tickets yet? STLFunnyBone.com. You can go to TomShalhoub.com as well. Quick break. When we come back, we'll see if you're an ace on Be or Not the Bee. Sounds great. Stick around. We'll be right back with more of The Annie Fry Show. Welcome back to The Annie Fry Show. Appreciate you being with us this afternoon. We are very honored to have Tom Shalhoub in studio with us for a special guest appearance for The Bee or Not the Bee. Before we get to that, since we have Tom in here, did you grow up in city, suburb, country? What kind
suburb.
Of
suburbs of Massachusetts, Norwood, Mass.
Okay, but you spent a lot of time in the city.
Yes.
Did you ever eat apples and toss them out the window in the suburbs, or it's kind of?
Well, you were talking about seeds or apples.
Shells,
like definitely, you can't throw an apple core out the window. Whole core? That's too much.
We're going to discuss.
Yeah, if you're on a country road and you're riding by the woods. And you can get
if you can get
to the woods, I would say go ahead, get into the woods.
There's a deer that's going to love that.
Yes. But I don't know, seeds just flying out the car? I don't even like it when people use their windshield. The windshield fluid's out of control. It's shooting over the hood of the car now into my car.
Like 2-3 cars back if you're on the highway and you're going fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, the nerve to clean your windshield off.
Yeah.
Why are they so high powered?
I don't know.
They're like just America.
Just a little extra.
Because we can.
Yeah. Just like power washers now.
You want this thing to shoot your windshield or everybody else's? Yeah. Nah, let's go with everybody.
Why not both?
I'm generous.
All right. Let's do Wiggins America. Are you ready for that?
Okay. Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
The Bee or Not the Bee.
All right. These are a mixture of stories that come from either the Babylon Bee, which would be satire, or their real headlines. I'm going to read the headline. And, of course, everybody in the room, including Tom Shalhoub today, will have to tell me whether or not it's the bee or not the bee. First one, Los Angeles mayor's podium stolen during news conference touting drop in crime.
Wow.
That's a tough one.
I know.
It's plausible.
It's almost, though, if you were trying to do a parody, would you go that far?
Yeah. It's two on the nose.
Yeah.
Maybe it's podium guy from,
is the,
from
criminal,
the Capitol.
Yeah, is he part
people
of...
People steal podiums, Ryan.
I know they do. But is he a performance artist? Is he trying to show something here?
I think it's real. That's my guess. Tom, you got a thought?
Let's just go with no, it's not real.
I'm going to go with the B.
What did you say it was?
I think it's real.
You think it's real? It is the B.
Oh, the B.
Okay. Well, that's kind of good for humanity.
Right. Quote, we have made significant progress in the city on homelessness and crime. And hey, where are you going with that? Exclaimed Mayor Bass, suddenly as her podium was whisked away by a member of the city's unhoused population. Quote, I was like saying crime is way, way down. And the people of Los Angeles are seeing that with their own eyes, unquote. She just continued. I like the idea she would continue with the speech.
I'm glad that didn't actually happen. And if it did, I don't know that it would make a difference.
Now, here's one that's really going to stump you.
Okay.
Adam Schiff robbed in San Francisco, forced to attend ritzy campaign dinner with no suit.
Tom?
No comment.
That's a real story.
You know it.
We got the man here in the studio to prove it.
I pulled some great quotes from this. This is from Fox News, actually. I guess it's welcome to San Francisco, joked attorney Joe press agent who was holding the dinner supporting Schiff's Senate bid. He says, you probably know this, Tom, he actually says, Adam Schiff, yes, they took my bags, but I'm here to thank Joe.
No.
So he actually addressed it.
Anywho.
Yeah, and then Adam really showed.
Nothing to see here.
Right, yeah. Adam really showed himself tonight, said Kotchit. He'll be a great senator. He's going to change the Senate tremendously. The apparent theft came just days after the San Jose mayor, Matt Mahan's security guard, was assaulted in downtown San Jose Tuesday.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's all very, very real.
Are you pulling for a senator shift, Tom?
I mean, I don't know if I
it's gonna be huge.
You know, I've had my fill of doing Adam Schiff, so if he were to just fade away, I would be very happy.
That would
happy.
Be the real favor?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I don't have to borrow my wife's makeup anymore.
All right, next one. Caitlin Clark becomes highest paid WNBA player in history with a lucrative 4-figure annual salary.
It's not 4 figures, though.
I heard that there's a salary cap in the WNBA, right? So she's not making that much money.
Really?
That's what I heard, yeah.
Because it was supposed to be like $70,000, $71,000 was the contract, but does that mean it's real?
I mean, I would say, what does it say in the headline? That she's
the highest paid WNBA player in history with lucrative four-figure annual salary.
I think we're meandering around. Yeah, maybe 5 figures.
I think
it's
you figured
four
it
and
out.
Five.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the B. Experts noted that the deal effectively turns the entire WNBA player compensation structure upside down, with the Indiana franchise shelling out an annual salary level previously only enjoyed by society's heavy hitters like part-time babysitters.
$70,000 to play basketball for 4 months and a $20 million shoe deal, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's got those deals. She's got the endorsement deals.
Yeah.
And that's
she's worse. Caitlin Clark is going to be okay.
Yeah.
So, and she's already done a lot for women. So she'll keep going.
Next one, the legal ramifications of racist umpiring.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to say that's real. If
I don't really know if I want to hear it. If it's a parody, I don't want to know what that article sounds like. I'll say real umpiring.
Racist umpiring.
Baseball?
I'm gonna go with the B on this one.
This is a real article.
Yeah,
and it's been kicked around quite a bit in the last decade. When I was searching, I'm like, man, this is a topic that's been written out about a lot.
Racism?
It says, yeah. Overall, umpires exhibit pitcher favoritism when their race matches the pitchers, and batter favoritism when their race matches the batters.
Who's? No, they don't. Who's studying this?
And one of these studies, too, a Bleacher Report went in and looked at the study, and they're like, okay, we can see that you have something here, but there's a lot of variables that you weren't considering.
Yeah, and like, what if the pitcher's bad? What if the hitter's good?
That's what they said.
I mean, the pitcher's a variable, the hitter's the variable, their skin color is a variable, the umpire's skin color is a variable, the umpire's experience is a variable, their bad mood that they came to the game in might be a variable. Oh, man, that sounds to me exactly like a conclusion that they drew and needed to find a study to verify it.
You're exactly right, and that's what Bleacher Report found, too. Now, this is a newer article than what they were looking at, but like I said, this has been discussed for a long time, and they said, your sample size is enough that you could have just had a lot of rookies in the sample, and it would have, skewed things. So, yeah, that is a real article, though.
It's ridiculous.
So just be on the lookout, because you'll probably hear about that again.
What, for a white ump?
Yeah.
What are you looking out for?
Well, just be on the lookout, because I'm guessing that you will hear something about that in your lifetime and probably within the next year or two. All right, next one. Columbia protesters clarify they only want death to America after America's done paying their student loans.
This is a B. Oh, that's the B.
Yeah, it's a perfect
it is, yeah.
B headline.
It is.
Protest, but wait.
Yes. Quote, death to America in like 3 or 4 years when I graduate, shouted one student protester. America truly is the great Satan that ravages and oppresses other countries and deserves to be wiped off the face of the earth as soon as the American taxpayers finish off paying our tuition loans. As part of this agreement, Columbia students vowed to maintain barely passing grades in all of their liberal arts classes for the duration of the time it takes taxpayers to cover their debt.
Tom, have you experienced any of these protesters? I mean, at the universities, but in New York City, have you?
No, I stay away from anything like that. And, you know, I used to be a city dweller, but now I'm up in the suburbs, and and if I see that anything's going on,
go the other way.
I don't want to be a part of it. Yeah,
it seems. I always question. Well, the more attention we give to it, of course, the bigger it's going to get.
Yeah,
we were talking about the 2020 protests. Like, when did they stop? Was there a collective like, okay, we're done with this and we're going to start pivoting our attention another way? Because as long as the eyes and the ears are on them, they will get bigger and bigger, it seems like.
And it's the same group of people. Occupy Wall Street, then it morphed into BLM, and you know they all take kind of the Soros and other big these big left wing money that comes in, and the same people that did BLM are now doing these protests. So it just kind of revolves. And to be honest, a lot of these young people, I hope that it doesn't ruin their reputations because I want to give them a little time to be idiots. Because there were people on campus when I was in college, and they were talking about Israel. And this is back when they were saying they were pro PLO. You know, they were like, "Yeah, I'm pro Yasser Arafat," and they were marching on college campuses in Boston and in Cambridge. So they were dumb, and they probably wised up later.
Sure.
And when they were 30, they had a corporate job, and they said, "Oh yeah, I'm glad nobody you know put my picture on social media back then." So these kids, hopefully. Maybe we can give them a little time to be dumb. I mean, break up the protests.
Yeah.
Don't allow any of this, you know, the anti-Semitic nonsense. It's unsafe for Jewish students to show up at Columbia now, and they're a quarter of the school. So, yeah. But I think they in the old days, you allowed people to be stupid when they were young, and I hope we're going to be able to give these fools the same benefit of the doubt.
Question, like, what is it going to look like for people to run for president in 30 years when— It's been completely common and normal to document everything.
Yeah,
like there'd be a video of everything.
Yeah, so we'll let it go, essentially. You know, it will redefine itself, I think, because everyone will have the same kind of past online.
Yeah, one more for us before we go?
Real quick. Hillsdale College, which is a Christian college, reports no violent anti-Semitic protests for 180th year in a row. It's both true.
I was just saying, both is true.
Yeah, it is true. It's the B, but it's true.
Ah.
So just like most of the good ones, that's the way they look.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate you, Tom Shalhoub. Thank you for being in and giving us some of your time this afternoon. Lots of people going to check out the show tonight at the St. Louis Funny Bone and the Streets of St. Charles tonight and tomorrow night. All the details are online at stlfunnybone.com. You can also go to tomshalhoub.com and see what he's up to here in St. Louis and then across country. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
I didn't get to talk to you about your book, but we'll have to have you come back and talk about being a mean dad.
Oh, yeah.
I have lots to talk to you about that for sure. You'll check out Tom Shalhoub's book there as well. If you want tickets, go secure them at STL Funny Bone, but hurry up because they are going to be gone. Appreciate having you, Tom. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get to what I missed on the week and ask us anything. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.